Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people and organizations making a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is the CEO and president of the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas, Charles English. How are you doing, Charles?
Quite well, Chris. And how about yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, I'm excited to talk to you for a couple of reasons, and I'm just going to be totally transparent. The last time I talked to you on a phone call, we were just casually talking social stuff, and you mentioned, this is it. You're going to retire. I'm like, what? And you say you've kind of plotted it all up. Can you tell the world right now what's going on and why are you deciding to retire right now?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me to share this great news. 20 years, Chris, I think is long enough for someone to figure out what life is all about. And so I am coming up on my 20th year in May. I'm very, very excited about that because we are going to be looking at transitioning. I think you use the word retirement, but every time I think of any word that starts with R-E, and then rerun, replay, retry,
yeah,
redone, whatever, it's sort of like doing stuff over again. So I'm not going to be tired over again, okay?
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Let's call it
I'm
the transition.
I think yeah. You said earlier, I'm turning a page. That's what's going on.
Okay, let's talk about turning that page. I like the symmetry. You say 20 years. You kind of have an idea of what you did and what you're going to do and where you are now. When did you first think about this, and how is the transition going?
I wrote my succession plan in 2015.
Look out. Now, that's called organized. That is called very
and
organized.
So we created a strategic plan for my exit to make sure that we were very well fit financially, mm-hmm. programmatically, operationally, to make that transition. Now, when we talk about transition, we talk about what will I be able to share and be able to assist the organization once I'm gone. There is a search. It's a national search. Over 360 candidates have submitted their application nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that is a good indication that the Boys and Girls Club is a very attractive career move for a number of folks who want to come in this beautiful city called Dallas and to become part of an organization that is one of the highest rated organizations in the country, according to GuideStar and Charity Navigator. Those are the national rating agencies for nonprofits, and we are ranked up at the top. And because of that ranking, it got the attention of Mackenzie Scott, who gave us an unsolicited, unrestricted grant of $4.8 million.
Wow, congratulations.
So, again, so transitioning. So we're looking at transitioning those dollars into investing in some of our old facilities to modernize them, to bring them up to speed, to be an exciting place, to continue to be an exciting place for our kids. Our numbers are growing coming out of COVID, and we see that trajectory of growth to continue. We're close to 1,700 kids a day out of a membership base of 6,000. I will be challenging my successor to double the size of this organization,
hey,
financially, operationally, programmatically, mm-hmm. in the next 3 to 5 years.
That is fantastic. You've actually,
so that's part of the outlook.
Yeah, this is fantastic because it's giving, you know, people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, North Texas, an idea of how exceptional the Dallas the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas has been over the years through your tenureship. And it's also letting people recognize, hey, it is an outstanding organization that is attractive across this nation for people who are leaders, who are CEOs, who are presidents, to say, you know what, maybe I can take it to the next level. This is not an organization that's, you know, lost its way or found itself in a ditch. It just needs some new direction. This thing is a growth project. And so far, all systems go, right?
All systems go. And let me just tell you, Chris, in life, I think you don't really know your strength unless it's being measured or being challenged. And I don't think that you understand how creative you can be with your resources that you have. And COVID was devastating, not only to the for-profit world across the country, throughout the world, but it was devastating for many nonprofits. So in that 2 year, what I call adjusting period, challenging period, we acquired another county, Navarro County, because that chartered club was about to go under.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said to my board, you know, too much is given, much is required. And so we went down to Carson County and found a way to keep that club open. And the United Way had a major agency that was about to close their doors in West Dallas. And they asked if we would step in and do a feasibility study to save that particular program that was serving over 300 young people out of West Dallas. And we stepped in and was able to save that organization, and the corporate board stepped in and continued to support the budget for that particular organization. So again, we're positioned to do great things with our program. We will never ever compromise the quality of our program for the sake of growth. But in terms of serving more youth, I think we're called to do that. Out of DISD alone, you're talking about 150 some thousand young people, and 90% of them are on reduced or free lunches, which is a strong indicator that the need is great. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that our resources will allow, without compromising the quality of our impact of our program, we're going to jump in there and we're going to do everything possible to help DISD accomplish its goals and objectives.
You know, the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas is just an amazing organization. Again, you've managed to keep the growth there through a pandemic, as a lot of different executives have said, make the pivot, but you've been able to flourish. I want you to also talk about the impact of, you know, traditionally the Boys and Girls Clubs around the country have had on lives. And I'm going to be more specific by saying, I just found out recently that Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq's foundation, made a large donation to the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas. And he was saying part of the reason why is because if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club in his life, he wouldn't be where he is today. Can you talk about how that even happened and how he happened to choose the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas?
Well, first of all, he was playing on our courts as a young man down in San Antonio at the Boys and Girls Club. So that was his first introduction. I met his mom, and his mom said, we had to keep this boy busy with something that was productive and off the streets. And they stuck him into the Boys and Girls Club, and he stayed with it from that time until now, being able to give back. He is a national spokesperson. His focus is assisting where the needs are the greatest. And he came to the table to invest in our repairing and upgrading our pool at our Oak Cliff location, along with, and I give a shout out also to one of our local philanthropists, Roland Parrish.
Yes.
They got together and said, you know, let's open up this pool. And as you know, there's a national call to action for teaching young kids of color. And our primary focus and target is is in the Southern Sacred is to teach them how to swim to reduce the number of drownings, right?
Yes. And in fact, let me drop in and say this real quick. I'm totally on board with that. I taught my kids how to swim when they were 3 years old. In fact, my two oldest kids, my daughter and my son, are lifeguards. They are lifeguards to this day.
That's beautiful.
Because I didn't want anybody drowning.
If they're interested in helping us out this summer with our pool opening, since it's been closed the last 3 years, part of which was with COVID, part of which because until we got the funding from CHAC and Roland, we didn't have the resources to do the necessary upgrading to meet the current city codes, as well as hiring the lifeguards who also double in training kids how to swim.
You know, we might
that's
have to talk.
We
might have to talk, because literally that's what they did last summer with Dr. Tony Evans when he started helping out and developing Golf Club of Dallas over there. So, yeah, my kids are lifeguards over there.
Oh, that's good to know. That's where I golf, and I'm a member of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
There it is. So small world.
Yes, very small world. Yes. And Chris, you know, this is just a shout out to you. I met your son, wonderful young man, and I would not ever have got it the other way.
Yeah, he's Mr. Track Star, but he's also a lifeguard. He is a very I'm so proud of him, and he's a very smart kid as well. And just like his friend Sydney. And they're both very smart kids. So, again, that's why. See, this is one of the reasons why we're talking, because we're all about uplifting the youth. And there are two examples right there. But back to Shaq and Roland Parrish, who's also my fraternity brother, who's also a very great philanthropist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I thought that was a natural thing to do with the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas. And that just showed, like I said, how things are going for the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas, because you guys have put them in position to succeed. And like I said, whoever's going to be the new CEO president, not that they got big shoes to fill, but they've got to have a vision, like you said, that supersedes what you've already put in place.
Absolutely, Chris. And let me just share this with you. Oftentimes when I share with my friends and my investors, I don't have donors. Mm-hmm. We don't raise money. We raise awareness.
There you go.
The needs of our kids. And so when I hear that, shoes to fill, I say, look, I'm going to take my pair of shoes. I'm going to take them home. If they're going to be anywhere, it's going to be sitting on a bench on my back porch out looking for a place to go play golf. Because this person is not going to fill my shoes. This person is going to fulfill their vision to take us to the next level. We operate on a $10 million budget. That budget in the next 3 to 5 years should be at a minimum of $15
million. Easily, in this day and age.
We have, like I said, we're serving 6,000 kids now. That number should be at 12,000.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk again about, for those who have heard of the Boys and Girls Club, what exactly is the mission of the Boys and Girls Club for people who don't know?
Simply put, we have three pillars. Academic success, a strong, strong focus on learning. We launched an early childhood education initiative because we found out that many of the kids coming in the first grade did not have a formal early childhood education. So we launched that about 5 years ago. And those kids, after 3 years of a big dose of tutoring, are at or above reading level. Because you know the statistic, if they're not at reading level by the third grade, the trajectory of their success academically is going to go south, go downhill. Okay.
Yeah.
That's one there. Health and lifestyle. Primary focus, middle schools. These kids, 1 foot in elementary, 1 foot in high school, and they're lost in terms of who they are. So we give them a big dose of understanding the importance of healthy lifestyle, making good decisions. Eating and fitness, physical fitness. And then we get to the third level, good character and leadership. That's for our teenagers. That's for our high school students. We give them an opportunity to experience, actual experience of knowing what careers are out there waiting for them, both in the technical world as well as in the world of college and careers. Speaking of that, on May 9th, starting at 6 o'clock at Frontier Flight of Museum, and we are going to have over 500 guests coming to celebrate the graduation of our top seniors who are graduating with scholarships and a lot of tools to enter college. And these colleges are all over Texas, and some have gotten into the top tier schools of Harvard and Cornell, Princeton, you name it. And we're going to celebrate their success through the Boys and Girls Club Collegiate Steps Program. So those are the three areas of focus: academic, healthy lifestyle, where kids understand the balance between mind, body, and spirit, and then character and leadership development in high school career development.
You know what? You mentioned the scholarship dinner. I had the pleasure of being at that, and it is so wonderful. Sometimes parents are in tears. The kids can be in tears, but they're so excited because they are seeing that their hard work is paying off and they have something to look forward to. Sometimes, you know, you have to have something to, you have to have a purpose-driven life. And those who don't are somewhat lost. And kids especially need a purpose-driven life.
Well, you know, I've always oftentimes said, you know, especially with our teens, they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And they can envision what they have not seen. So we have 21 buses and vans. We can take a lot of field trips, both at the elementary and middle school level. But we have college tours, and we have tours at these corporations to show them opportunities for summer internship, like Bank of America. We have 10 of our young people working at the different branches of Bank of America. It's been a very successful program. And also Urban Land Institute. We have our kids interested in commercial construction. And so they're exposed to a large number of career tracks. If they're not interested in going to college initially, we can steer them in the way of an area of licensing and certification. Well, try calling for a plumber and see how long it's going to take to get one.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. There's jobs out there, and there are people who enjoy doing those certain jobs. So place them where they feel like they're getting things accomplished, where they feel good about themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have so many anecdotal stories, and just one that comes to mind. A young man, Trevor. I met Trevor in fourth grade, and tall for his age, and continued to grow, expand his not only height but weight. And quiet gentleman. And he wanted to get into veterinarian school after completing his college degree at Texas Tech. And he got so many rejection letters. It was just heartbreaking for me to see him. I stayed with him through the whole process, finally got him into LSU. And 2 weeks ago, he sent me an email with a picture saying, "Mr. English, I have my white coat." He's now going into his fourth year, and he's gotten placed in as a veterinarian doctor.
That is fantastic. That is, see, those are the kind of stories. See, these are difference-making stories, and this is one of the reasons why I love doing this show, because you get to talk to so many different people like yourself, where you find that the reward is not just financial. I mean, people can have goals of being wealthy, but sometimes having an impact on lives, or, you know, being empathetic to others, where, you know, it's kind of like educators, first responders, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they're impacting lives. And that's what I love about what you've been able to do with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dallas, just impacting all the different lives over the years. That was one story. I'm sure you've got lots and lots of others.
We have so many stories, thousands of stories. Been here 20 years. Thousands of stories.
I can imagine. I can imagine. You were also telling me the last time we talked about during the pandemic, you were able to put together, I think, some programs with technology involved. Can you talk about the kids nowadays?
Yes, we made tremendous amount of investments in technology. So we launched a very aggressive virtual learning. We hired tutors. And we were able to also go into certain apartment complexes that had limited connectivity.
Right. Wi-Fi issues.
And Wi-Fi issues. And we had conversations with AT&T and rectified a little bit of that. We, in fact, inserted Wi-Fi on our 64-passenger bus and get close enough to the apartment complexes where some of our members were attending, like Roseland, which is a public housing.
Yeah.
Those kids to be able to have access to their classes.
You know what's amazing about that? See, that's called thinking outside of the box, that you turned an entire school bus or bus, a travel bus, into a hotspot, which has seats on it where the kids can take their tablets and laptops and get their portals together, get their assignments in, and not fall behind in their classes.
That's correct. On average, kids of color have lost two-thirds of a year's learning. So there is a gap that, that was already there before COVID. It only grew even more so during COVID. So I say to my staff, we have to learn how to change the flat tire without stopping the car.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it has to be done.
Pushing forward. We got to keep pushing forward and finding every possible way, because not only the kids coming on the bus getting their homework done, they also have opportunity to see each other during COVID.
Yes.
And they were able to maintain their relationship. And what we have learned, and I just came from D.C., lobbying for funding for mental health and wellness and targeting young people to really get to a point where, as I tell my staff in my 26 locations, triage every child coming through that door to make sure that they are mentally okay.
Yes.
Because sometimes they're not going to share it at the home, and sometimes they'll share it with our staff. They'll become their mentors, in some cases, surrogate parents, because mental health and wellness, we need to know what those triggers are. We need to know what the clinical services are available. And we need to work very closely with, in this case, DISD counseling services, so that we can identify when a kid is disconnecting themselves mentally from their academics or from their social well-being.
And, you know, you said this so well. I can't say this enough. There's a whole subset of our society, and these are teenagers or young adults who were really affected by the pandemic, where older adults just had no idea. They thought older adults, oh, I got to work from home now, or maybe I got downsized and I just got to, I got to work these things out. And they're more equipped to handle that. There are younger kids who did not know if this was going to be the way of living the rest of their lives. And that mentally affected them. And there was nobody there that they could turn to other than each other. And sometimes, like you said, they couldn't even socially talk to each other because they were isolated in their own homes. It's not like they could drive somewhere.
Well, actually, when you look at this all the time, in many cases, majority of our cases, the single parent household, that parent had to go to work. Even during COVID, they were on the front line. They had to bring income into the home. And sometimes that teenager, as early as 13 years of age, was left with siblings to be the
parent.
And you know that is going to disconnect teenagers from what the world they look for is socializing and having fun.
Yeah. And a lot of teenagers, seriously, were actually robbed of a physical graduation. They did not actually get to walk across the stage.
Tell me about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I have shared is, we have wraparound programs and we're realistic in terms of what we do for our kids. But also we're very honest with ourselves. We can't do it alone. So collaboration with other youth organizations is essential. It's so important. And there's no competition involved because the need is so great. But, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
We mentioned, some of the things. Well, you mentioned the scholarship dinner coming up in May with the Boys and Girls Club of Dallas. Can you talk about some of the other projects you're looking forward to as you wind things down with your tenor and you make your transition, the things that you're hoping to take place while you're still, right there, feet on the ground?
Here's my outlook And here's what I see. I see us growing more in our partnerships with the school districts. Mm-hmm. Our primary focus, DISD, and the charter schools within DISD. That's Uplift, KIPP, and DISD. That's more than a mouthful to chew on, okay? However, our demand for more services is expanding into the suburbs of Richardson, where we have a request to go into 4 school-based sites. And we expanded to Corsica County, but now because of the success of our single site there, they want us to go into the school-based sites. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about that. And I think National is looking at perhaps Boys and Girls Club is going to grow from Greater Dallas to Regional Dallas. And we're going to grow by either a partnership or assuming more territorial assignments, like in Northeast Texas, where there's a lot of smaller rural communities mm-hmm. that need our help. And mm-hmm. we may be able to serve them in backroom operation, like accounting and marketing, that sort of thing. But again, I want to reemphasize this. Our plate right now is really filled with our focus on Dallas, ISD, DISD. You know that they have launched initiatives to shut down Houston ISD. I think that is a big mistake because you're going to lose your community schools, where we are building relationships with the local community who really know their community and know their kids and mm-hmm. know their teachers. And so if they go into a charter school concept, like for instance, in New Orleans, I think we're going to lose a little bit of that community support.
Sure.
If you will.
Sure. And there may be some people who wind up falling through the cracks.
Oh, I mean, you've seen it, Chris, back in our day and time, you know, it was a flight to the suburb, and it mm-hmm. Stripped our community of some of the best talented committed teachers and principal mm-hmm. around.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is the education suffers for the students, and it also just doesn't help the neighborhood. So again, we're trying to evolve this thing and be self-supportive, but it takes partnerships, it takes some leadership, and it takes guidance. And like I said, we love what you're doing. And I know you're not going away. You're transitioning.
I'm transitioning. In fact, part of my transition is to working with organizations for mentoring,
mm-hmm.
For raising scholarship money for our kids to have an opportunity to pursue either the technical track with Dallas colleges or to pursue college.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we need to also promote some of the great things that are happening at Paul Quinn.
Yes.
I mean, we are feeding into Paul Quinn. Yeah, with Mike Sorrell, a longtime friend of mine, mm-hmm. I'm sure of yours, of many.
Yes.
And so
30 years.
Mental health and wellness, again, we need to be able to create a pathway for our parents to feel comfortable having their kids to discuss things that causing them to not have a strong outlook on life and maybe giving up on life. And we see it with so many issues with kids now, either through drug or unhealthy habits that they're creating, mm-hmm. as well as to the extreme of shootings.
Exactly, because sometimes that also stresses out entire, not just student bodies, but communities, the random shootings, the school shootings, the shootings on the properties.
Absolutely. It impacts us all. Yeah. I live in Oak Cliff, so I have a vested interest in these kinds of issues going forward.
Well, I know there's some things that impact people all the time, and they've always trusted the Boys and Girls Club. There's something about, you know, over time, over the decades, it's like just like I said, Shaq donating from his foundation because he was raised in the Boys and Girls Club, and people just know they can kind of trust and count on the organization. Can you share where anybody who might want to volunteer or be a part of the Boys and Girls Club or even partner? Let's say you have a small business or you're part of a major corporation and you say, you know what? This sounds like an organization I want to be a part of on whatever the level it is. Can you give them some information on how they can be a part of the Boys and Girls Clubs?
Absolutely. I would direct and invite anyone interested in serving as individual volunteer or group volunteer. Like if you're with a fraternity or sorority, there are a number of infinity groups within the corporate community. Go to our website, www.bgcdallas.org, go to that website. You will find a number of areas that can use your talents, can use your investments, and your time. I'm telling you, time is so valuable for these kids to see folks, particularly those that look like them, coming into the community and talking to them about life in general. Okay. And so that will be part of my outlook as well, is increasing the mentoring opportunities for our kids who can maybe do some shadowing with our Black Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Asian Chamber of Commerce, in terms of the various types of technical skills that they can get certified for in the corporate world. You know, a shadow experience in the firm, law firms, in the banking community, in construction, in the technology. So we are looking to expand our partnership base because, once again, kids don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
And they can envision what they haven't seen.
Exactly. It's like you don't know about the opportunities unless you kind of go through it firsthand. You can only get so much wisdom or content if you're watching a TV show or you're watching something on YouTube or you're listening to something on a streaming service or a Spotify or whatever the different social media that you're involved with. There's a echo chamber there. And if you don't step outside the echo chamber, I'm talking for parents trying to help raise their kids. You've got to let your kids have the opportunity to grow and develop and learn there
Absolutely.
Are different opportunities and ways to succeed in life. You don't have to be an entertainer. You don't have to be an athlete to succeed. You can be anything that you really want to be if you have a plan or you know where you can go to figure out how to make a plan.
The best way to see the totality of our impact on kids from first grade, 12th grade, and beyond is coming to our top celebration on May 9th. All the information is there on that website. You can be a sponsor. Individual tickets are available. And that underwrites the next generation of kids in the pipeline going through our college prep program. We have over 250 kids in the program. And this year, on average, we will have 100 kids graduating and going to college. That's another way for people to see what I call is the exclamation mark behind our mission. And our mission is simply to enable all young people, especially those who need us most, to become productive, caring, responsible, and accountable citizens. And you will see the exclamation of our work for these kids, the impact we are making through all our various programs at TOPS.
That is fantastic. I'm not going to say goodbye to you because you're really not going anywhere. I'm going to say this, though. I learned about 10 years about this word, and I think this word might describe what your title might want to be. I mean, you're not going to be the president and CEO of the—
I'm open for it.
Okay, here's the title. You tell this to people. First, you got to run it through the board, but tell them this is the title you probably should have, because you know you'll be working with some mentorship. You're not going away. You'll probably be able to come and go as you please a little bit more because you're not necessarily CEO and president. You're going to get one of those. I think you should call yourself emeritus. Emeritus is somebody that's still in the organization, but you kind of oversee it without having to be hands-on all the time, every single day. Does that kind of apply? Am I throwing something out there?
I like that. You know, I'm an old country boy, you know, so, you know, in earlier years, I probably would have thought that meant something else.
No, that's overseeing like it from afar. That's almost like, okay, I helped start something. I'm watching it grow. You can still, you know, pick my brain. I can still, you know, do a few things here for you here and there, but I'm not going to be there day to day. You got a CEO and president now. I'll just be emeritus.
I like it.
Run it past the board, run it through your brain, and if it happens to be your new title, I'll take some credit.
You know what? I'll give you the credit.
All right.
Retirement it's a backward way of thinking about life.
Yeah. No, you don't want to retire. You still want to be around, but, you know, again.
You're relevant.
Yeah, exactly. You still be there. If people want to ask you questions or pick your brain, if you have some ideas you want to throw it on the table, you can still walk in the door and people still see you, but you don't have to do all of the duties of a CEO or president. So emeritus might be the perfect word. We'll see if it happens, though. And again, thank you so much for joining us. That's Charles English. He is the I don't want to call you the CEO and president of Boys and Girls Club, but he is still there. And we're looking forward to all the things that are going to happen next. Thank you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And joining us right now is the CEO of itsgoingtobeokay.org, Dr. Tanya Stafford. How you doing, Tanya?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for spending some time with us, because I know your schedule has been so hectic lately. And it was a pleasure running to you at the Jack and Jill event a couple of weeks ago. Your story, I found out more and more about your story, and it's just absolutely amazing. For those who don't know about itsgoingtobeokay.org, it's a nonprofit providing hope and healing to those affected by human trafficking and sexual exploitation. And first of all, for you to put together this organization has been amazing after what you've been through for your whole life. And this is the 10th year of itsgoingtobeokay.org?
Yeah, it'll be the 10th year next year.
Okay, so you're in the 9th year.
Yeah, we turned 10 next year. Actually, it's been an amazing 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. And the fact that you've able to do a lot of different things over those 10 years, including speaking in front of the state legislature and trying to get some reform. Can you talk about, before we talk about your journey, can you talk about itsgoingtobeokay.org and some of the things you've been able to do over these last 9 years?
It's Going to Be Okay was birthed out of my story. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, I'm not just the founder and CEO of It's Going to Be Okay. I am a human trafficking survivor.
That's right.
So I was sold here in Dallas by my mom for drugs at the age of 13. He took possession of me at the age of 14. He kept me for 10 years. He kept me isolated in a part of Pleasant Grove. Most of my life, most of my childhood life, I was rescued at the age of 23. Well, I was just turning 23 by my neighbor. She seen something, she said something, and she did something.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that she told me during that time of being rescued by her was she didn't save me to sit on it. I didn't understand that until I got a little bit older in my early 30s to where I understood it was coming back full circle that I was helping young women and young girls that had been sexually abused, molested, raped in the church, outside the church. And so I decided to start the nonprofit, It's Going to Be Okay. And that name came from my grandmother. Because I wasn't, you know, my childhood wasn't a childhood of abuse, pain, and neglect because we were raised by my grandmother
mm-hmm.
for eight of those years of my life, which she was my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said, it's going to be okay no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it looks, it's going to be okay. And so I held on to that. That got me through the 10 years of the abuse and rape. And being almost killed by him. And I had three children while I was in captivity. My children are 30, 34, 33, 31, and, well, 31 and 24, 25. She's 25 now. And so I have four children altogether, but I had three children while I was in captivity.
Can you talk about how you were able to escape and then also how you were able to escape with your children?
My neighbor is the reason why I escaped.
But what was
the plan?
Well,
she rescued me. Yeah, she rescued me. She's the one that she seen something, she said something, and she did something. She was very persistent about talking to me, getting me to trust her with what was going on. She would hear, you know, the beatings and different things like that. And you can actually track my story through the Attorney General's website, Be The One. Our houses were really close, so she was very close to the situation. And she was just very persistent about helping me. And I didn't trust her at first because I didn't trust anybody because he told me that nobody would help me and he could kill me and get away with it. He told me that for 10 years. Which he was right because nobody was looking for me
mm-hmm.
and nobody cared. Even when I did tell people, the one dynamic that changed in those 10 years was when he was taking me to church every Wednesday and Sunday. And I told them that, you know, he was raping me and beating me and doing things like that. And they told me, don't say that anymore. They just said, you don't say things like that. He can't be doing that. Or that's not who he is. He's a great person. He's a faithful tither. So the church had a lot of hurt that I endured because I trusted them and they would tell him and then he would beat me more. And so she was so persistent about helping. You know, she was just persistent about helping. And she told me she was going to help me. And I told her everything. She asked me, where was my mom? Mm-hmm. And I told her I didn't know because my mom was the one that sold me. Then she told me, you know, she could help me. And really, I thought she was crazy because I had been there for so long. I didn't think anybody could help me. And she said, yes, I can. And so she devised a plan, which we know today to be a plan for domestic violence survivors to get out of their situation, which also applies to human trafficking
mm-hmm.
Victims as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, she taught me a lot. She taught me how to get my ID. She taught me how to get all the birth certificates and socials for my children without him knowing it. And she taught me, she helped me to get my GED as well. And so I was able to finish school because he took me out of school. My last year at Lincoln High School was at the age of 15. It was the age of 15. I was in the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me out of school because I had gotten pregnant for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said people would get really suspicious. So
right.
I couldn't go to school anymore.
Right.
And after that, you know, being in Pleasant Grove with being next to her, she taught me so much. And she just said she didn't save me to sit on it, but I had a purpose in this world. And don't let anybody tell me differently. And I didn't understand that until I really got grown, is to, you know, raise my children. I thought just raise my children the best of my ability and just go on in life and don't say anything about what happened to me or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. And that just did not happen because I was always faced with abuse, broken, and, you know, women and children and young girls.
Right.
And then I found my purpose, and mm-hmm. It's Going to Be Okay was birthed through that purpose. To rescue, restore, and rebuild. So what we've done in these last 9 years of serving hundreds and hundreds
of
victims and families and children, mothers and their children in our community, is, you know, just to provide direct housing, trauma-informed therapy. Because one of the things that I noticed in our community is I was getting help after I was rescued. I was getting help
mm-hmm.
Through New Tomorrow's Women's Shelter. It doesn't exist anymore because she closed it. Miss Carol Little was the owner of New Tomorrow's. A Black woman that I had never seen before,
mm-hmm.
a Black woman that was running this successful program that I was in. And the one thing that she told me was, you know, when I walked through the door, is your new tomorrow begins today. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is a new day. Today is your new tomorrow. And I understood that. I understand that now. Because that's what I say to them, is their new start starts when they walk through that safe house. They get to rest. They get to rejuvenate. They get to figure out what they want to do. One of my clients told me, it was during Christmas time, and we were servicing, we serviced so many families of our victims, mm-hmm. but not just them, but their extended families that need help. And we asked them all, like, what do they want for Christmas? Not their children, not them, not anybody else, but them.
Right.
And
personally.
One of them. Yeah, it was. And she told me, she said, nobody has ever asked me that before. Nobody's mm-hmm. ever asked me, what did I want?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we give them back. We give them back their power. We help them to take back their power. So being in It's Going to Be Okay's program, that's what that does for them. It just restores them.
Yes.
It, you know, gives them hope to know that they can make it. If I can make it, they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Your journey is not my journey. They won't probably ever do what I do. So I am actually boots on the ground in the trenches. I do rescues.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Homeland Security. I've been doing that for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
During active rescues and providing the housing, clothing, food, education. You know, when they want to go back to school, we have some funders that will donate, you know, computers. They donate their funds
mm-hmm.
to make sure that, you know, we are, you know, servicing them. So that's something that I've taken pride in over these last 9 years, getting ready to be our 10th year, is what we've been able to do and be able to show that. At our last gala, we were able to feature a few survivors and a few rescues that I've done. And I don't do that because we don't like to re-exploit.
Mm-hmm.
But they were at a point where they was like, no, I want to tell people
right.
what you do
right.
and what you have done for us.
Right.
And what you do in this program. Like, there's hundreds of us and there's only one of you. And you've managed to, you know, do this along with the people that you've brought in, your team, And so that's what Is Going to Be Okay has managed to do, is provide that trauma-informed care that the Black community doesn't overall get.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the stigma that comes along with it, you know, Black, we don't go to therapy.
Right.
You don't go telling your white folks your business.
You know,
what goes on in here stays in
mm-hmm.
here. You know, that's what has always been in the community. And we are continuously subjected to the trauma of our families because nobody says anything.
Right.
Uncle Bobo, he done molested and raped, you know, generation after generation. And nobody has stopped Uncle Bobo.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just don't go over there. Just don't go near him.
Yeah, be careful.
And then when Uncle Bobo finally dies, then he done molested and raped 6, 7, 8 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody says anything because in the Black community, we are told, you know, that's still your family. Don't matter what you do,
mm-hmm.
how you do it, that's still your family. And you got to, you know, you just got to forgive and pray and go on. No, that's not true. You can forgive and not be around them too. You can pray and go to therapy.
Yes.
You can seek your Jesus and seek Jesus all day long, but you need to seek somebody that God has prepared and prepped to give you the care that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we, you know, we stand on, and we're not faith-based. We give them a choice. I mean, the church has donated the space that we use and different things like that, but we don't force them to do anything because a lot of their hurt has come from church.
Right, because sometimes that's where some of the secrets are kept. In other words, the church, people in the church may know, but they don't want to talk about it either.
They don't want to talk about it. They don't talk about it. Trafficking is a hard topic. It's not your regular table talk.
Right.
It's not your regular dinner talk. Trafficking it comes with so many components, which is 90% of the girls that have already been trafficked and sold have already been molested and raped by somebody they know, the family member. And the reason why they don't like church is because, believe it or not, it's pastors that's buying them, it's deacons, it's evangelists, so they've been hurt by the church because they will tell you, you know, I don't go to church. He's the one that was out there buying me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's the deep rooted hurt in, you know, church folks. And there's a difference between church folks and God folks.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And everybody should know that is, you know, it's such a difference with, you know, God folks are the ones that's truly out here that's helping us to do the work, helping us to, you know, get things done, donating to us. You know, so we don't bash the church. We bash those that are not doing what they are supposed to be doing and continuing to hurt those that you have been in charge with.
Exactly.
Or you are saying, you know, don't say that, you know, domestic violence is so high in the church, but trafficking go hand in hand. It's the same thing.
Could you talk about, this is so important, Tanya, because, and by the way, we're talking with Tanya Stafford of itsgoingtobeokay.org, a nonprofit providing hope and healing for those affected by human trafficking and sexual exploitation. And you were talking about all the different reasons why, you know, people keep this quiet or they just have to endure it. Can you talk about the fear part of it? Because I know when you were rescued, I'm sure there was fear in your mind of that guy coming after you if he found out you got away. And can you talk about some of those same situations, not only that happened with domestic violence, but it also with human trafficking, the fear factor of that man?
Yes. So the fear of it, the fear is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The fear is in, you know, you know, being told that you know, you won't ever, you
right.
know, nobody will be
something's
believe you.
Nobody's going to believe you and something's mm-hmm. going to happen to you. And how
yes.
are you over to overcome that fear? Because I know your neighbor had been talking to you for a long time. And then finally you just said, OK, let's do this. But I know you had to be terrified.
Yeah, I was, because I was terrified of what he would do,
right?
And what he could do. So yes, I was, but also it was the hope that she gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all of our, you know, clients and participants in the program and their families, because we help the whole family, because you have to help the whole family, because you're dealing with a lot.
Right.
But the fear that I overcame was she loved me where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she truly loved me where I was. She didn't judge me. She didn't. She just seen a child needing help.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me comfort. And that's what I took away from her through that journey and to this journey to this day. She's like an amazing person. And I took love, empathy, sympathy, and compassion. That's what she gave me.
Sure.
You know, my grandmother had already, you know, gave me my foundation. But here this woman came by and she, you know, my neighbor, and she gave me exactly what my grandmother had already given me.
So whatever happened to that guy? I mean, because, you know, because again, we so appreciate what you've been able to do and overcome. And that's why that's where that control comes from those guys, because mm-hmm. they get that fear. Whatever happened to him once you're able to get away?
Well, he ended up getting caught because he almost killed me the day that I was rescued. And he bonded out of jail. He bonded out of jail. And then we had a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And during that trial, to make a long story short, he said he pled not guilty to what he had done to me and the domestic violence, because they were really addressing the domestic violence part of it.
Right.
And then we had the trial. The church folks came to the trial. And I never forget. It was November 27, 1996, because it was my birthday.
Mm.
It was my 23rd birthday. And, you know, my mom said what she did. He said what he did. The judge took this long recess because he was trying to, you know, get him on statutory rape. He was trying to get him on. He was trying to get her on endangering a child. So it went back and forth, back and forth. And ended up him coming back and saying, I'm so sorry, you know, the system failed you, everybody failed you, and today I have to fail you, because the statute of limitation had ran out that day, November 27, 1996.
Oh, no.
And he walked out of court. I was issued protective order,
mm-hmm.
and he was granted visitation rights to the children, because they were his children.
And I just know that made you even more determined to help other women in these situations.
It was.
You were like, this is not going to happen to anybody else. You're like, I know you're angry for your own self, but you put it in the right direction. You said, you know what?
Yes.
This is not going to happen to anybody else if you got something you can do about it.
Yes.
And that's why you've
been
able to.
And that's what my neighbor told me.
Yes.
She was at trial with me. She was mm-hmm. at trial with me because she was at hell trying to help me to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do I do from here? And then she was like, you just pick yourself up and you go on. You raise your children, you do the best that you can.
Right.
I was like, but this isn't right. This is just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, life isn't fair. That's one thing I put in, you know, my forthcoming book is, you know, life isn't fair.
Right.
You know, this is the hand that it was dealt to
That's
me.
Right. And this
and
is
I
the
have
challenge.
To do what I have to do. But yeah, I contemplated some things, you know, like running them over accidentally and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Different things like that, but it wasn't going to be worth it because I had a bigger purpose. And
right.
that's the one thing that she kept telling me is that this is bigger than you. Even in my 20s, she would say that, like, this is bigger than you. You just don't even understand your big purpose. Like, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than us. It's way bigger than us. And I didn't start understanding that until, you know, the things that after forming the organization, you know, the doors that had been opened to me, the doors to testify on the House Bill 2290, making January Human Trafficking Prevention Month here in the state of Texas,
mm-hmm.
not understanding that it was bigger than me, that I would stand on platforms and speaking to thousands and hundreds, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. To share my story. And then the one thing that always come out of that is when I share with our people and other people and from all different walks of life, all different colors,
mm-hmm.
is we share the same story, is the abuse. And I had a, I think she was like 80, almost 80 years old. And I remember speaking at this event, and she came up to me afterwards and she said, "Thank you for telling my story." And I looked at her and she was crying. She was, it was an older lady. Mm-hmm. And I love elderly because they're so wise. Mm-hmm. And she said that she never said anything. She was 79, getting ready to be 80, and never said anything about the molestation and rape that she endured. And she had been suffering in silence all them years. And that day she was going home to tell her husband that she had, what she had endured. And that's why, you know, certain things she didn't like and certain things that was done. But I always walk away from those settings, you know, knowing that I've done what I was purposed to do. And that was share my story in order to free them and freely do it, you know, yes. Freely talk about molestation, rape, and abuse.
Yes, that's, you know, the only way it changes. You've got to let people be aware and let them know that they are not alone. Again, the mission for it'sgoingtobeokay.org is to eradicate human trafficking and to create a just world where women, children, and all vulnerable adults are safe, respected, and valued. Yeah. And I can't tell you enough how valuable it has been to have you on this show. We've got to have you back on again real soon. And talk about the different steps that you've been taking in the organization and recently how, you know, the different platforms you've been able to be on to share your message so that people can get their lives in order, or how they can change their predicament. And you've mentioned this before. You've helped save different people, rescue different people, hundreds of people. And so you are a blessing. I just want you to know that you are appreciated. And that's why we have you on this show.
Thank you so much. And they can go to our website, www.igtbok.org. Mm-hmm. And we have our 10th year celebration next year, and our gala all in one at the Dallas Renaissance. Shout out to them for hosting us again. And you get to also see the survivors that we have been in charge with to make their lives a better place in this world and to give them hope. And it's called the Hope and Pearls Gala.
Well, you know what?
How ironic.
This is, yes, how ironic. And again, you are a godsend. Just know that. I was so glad I had a chance to meet you a couple of weeks ago, but I had heard about your work. And it's just amazing the difference you've made in so many different people's lives. And I want to say this again. You mentioned the website. The easiest way to even find the website is Google is your friend. And all you have to do, literally, you don't have to remember the different letters.
I am so Googleable.
Yes, you just go to going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just type in the words. It's going to be okay.org. It's going to be okay. And what that's your grandmother used to say, right?
Yes.
Those are words of strength.
Everywhere I go, people love it. And it's like, what? It's like, that's the name of the organization. I love it. Oh, my gosh. It just gives so much hope to us.
It gives you hope. It gives you strength. Yeah. And it allows you to know that it's going to be okay. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.